Thank you, brother, for reading the Word of God. If you are in Exodus, please stay there, and you do well if you keep the chapter 14 of Exodus open. As you can see, I am not 6'2", or maybe 6'4", and I am not wearing a white suit like our pastor does at times. He is under a very tremendous amount of mission trip to measure the temperature of water in Cancun. And he is gathering data every day, and we shall see the result when he is back, Lord willing, tanned, and we can ask him how the vacation was. We do have a good pastor that is dedicated to the Word of God and to his ministry and to the body of believers at Bethel, and together with Pastor Tomlinson, they have been called by God, not by themselves, but by God. Well, today I have a passage for you from Old Testament. The title of the message is Trapped. So I want you to open your ears and open your eyes, fasten your seatbelt, because what we're going to learn today is going to be very important. Do you sometimes feel that you are trapped in hopeless despair? At the end of a dead-end road with nowhere to go and nowhere to turn, just stuck, and you are full of fear. If so, I've got a message for you today, a word of instruction from God Almighty, specifically for us. When we're trapped in utter despair, when you are at the end of the dead-end road, covered with darkness and fear, this message is very simple. The instructions are very clear. You'll find it in Exodus 14. And the answer is, here it is, stand still. I have received many calls from my friends that I have known for many years, throughout the years, and they are going through some very difficult times in their lives. They call to get some advice. They call to ask things and difficult questions, and sometimes before they even ask the question, they said, I know what you're going to tell me to do. And they were right. Nothing. Just stand still. When you're in a dilemma, the Bible says, stand still. When you're in a hard place and you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Stand still. The Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now open your Bibles to Exodus 14, and I want to show you several things in this passage as we walk through these verses that are related to you and I, God's people in this wilderness called the world. First thing, we need to understand this. We are, while we are at the world, in the world, a people pursued by a furious enemy. We have to understand that. Exodus 14:9, let's read it together. If you go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them. The Lord God hardened Pharaoh's heart. After he let the people of Israel go, God said, I will harden his heart, and he will say that they are entangled in the wilderness. Let's go after them, and let's get them, and let's bring him back. And so Pharaoh, having been defeated, utterly defeated in his purpose, utterly defeated what he intended to do, is now furious, is now angry. Now let me tell you something. There is no enemy so furious as one who is defeated. He may be locked up. He may be bound in mighty chains. He may have no armaments. He may have no ability. But I tell you, a defeated enemy is the most furious enemy there is. The Lord Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer, is described in Revelation 20, as you recall, as the angel, a mighty angel, who came down from heaven with a mighty chain, a chain of his own omnipotence in his hand, and with which he bound the prince of this world. That one who deceived nations, that one who deceived Adam and Eve, that one, the Satan. But though Satan, now listen, has been thoroughly and completely defeated by our Redeemer, though he is bound with that mighty chain of his omnipotence, yet Satan is a furious enemy who goes up and down through the earth, and what does the Bible say? As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look at Exodus 14:9 again. But Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the Red Sea. Pharaoh took everything at his disposal and went after the Israelites. And so it is with Satan. Satan pursues us as a furious enemy. But know this, he can do no harm. He cannot harm God. He cannot harm God's purpose. He cannot harm God's people. And yet, his rage is not diminished. Like a little dog or a big dog on a leash, in the trunk of a car, in a pickup truck. And all of a sudden, you walk in the grocery store and here is a big horse in the trunk and he is after you, but he's on a chain. And I don't like animals. And when I see that, I just sit in the car and I say, we're not eating tonight. Right? No go out. But I know he's on a leash and he's in the chains, but he impacts the way I am and I live. So is with Satan. Even though he can do you no harm, but he is a furious enemy. Now here in Exodus 14, the children of Israel had come out of the Egypt. They have been completely delivered from their captives. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that joyous day when the jail doors were open and the people were free to go? And this picture that we have here, the picture of Israelites, now think about it. Israelites that were in captivity and delivered out of Egypt. Israelites that were in wilderness. Israelites that crossed the Red Sea. And 40 years they spent in wilderness. And finally got to Jordan River. And went through the Jordan River and took possession of the land of Canaan. All of this is intended by God. Now listen, to be a picture of our experience of grace in this wilderness called the world. You get what I said? All of what Israelites went through is intended to be a picture, a portrait of our experience, you and I, of grace in this wilderness called the world. Oh, I know we got McDonald's and Burger Kings. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, I know we got in and out and out of in. I know. Oh, I know we got Starbucks. Thank God for Starbucks. Oh, I know. I know. But I tell you, we live in wilderness. This is a continual experience of God's grace in my life and your life. And Lord God here has them in the wilderness. He's led them forth to the Red Sea. They are happy. They are celebrating. Maybe they are starting to murmur because they're walking. There's no light rails. There is no trains. There is no automobiles. Surrounded with mountains, as we read. And now they see Pharaoh breathing down their necks. And he's coming to get them. He's coming not to pat them in the back. He's coming to devour them, to destroy them, and take them back to captivity. And now, here, they are brought to utter helplessness. They are trapped. Nowhere to go. No army. No cannons. No missiles. No tanks. No horses. Nothing. Trapped in utter helplessness. Have you been there before? Nowhere to go. They are dead sure of one thing, that they're about ready to perish. They are certain that Moses brought them out of Egypt, and they're gonna die in this desolate wilderness. And they begin to think, and even said, if you recall, it would have been better for us to have stayed in Egypt in slavery. I mean, how deep and how low can you go? Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start with verse 1, read through 11. Now I want to show you clearly that their whole experience is intended by God to portray our experience of grace in this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them, God wasn't pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things, listen, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things, verse 11, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, for an example. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You see? As you and I make our way through this wilderness, Satan doesn't sit in his palace and watches us on video. No. As you and I make our way through this wilderness called the world, Satan pursues us in a fury. And therefore, we are urged to cast all of our care upon Him, upon our God. And we are assured of one thing, that God of all grace will perform to the end, what does the Bible says? That good work of grace that He had begun in us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. The second thing we need to learn is this. Like the children of Israel, here entangled in the wilderness, we are often entangled in this wilderness called the world. Aren't we? Let's go to verse 3. Exodus chapter 14, verse 3. Go back to Exodus, second book in the Bible, chapter 14, verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. This is often where we find ourselves. Now I remind you again. Pay attention. They came, now listen, they came this way because God by purpose brought them this way. They weren't lost. They weren't Googling and going to the wrong exit. God Almighty, by His purpose, brought them that way. Now, I don't pretend to understand all that I know the Scripture teaches here with regard to our experience in this world. But I know one thing. Whether we are entangled by our own sin, by our own fault, if we are entangled with our own lust, if you are entangled with your own faults, if we are entangled with our own unbelief, with our own sin, or some other way, I tell you something. If you are God's child, it is all according to the purpose of God, who leads us always in the right way, no matter what. Always in the right way. If you're in pain, God has led you there. If you lost somebody and you are in crying and you don't know what to do, it is God who has given you that road, and you are on it because God has allowed you to be on it. There is no accidents with God. Why do you say that? Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. Verse 23. Psalms 37, 23. Now listen to the word of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by his wife. I don't think so. Even though the wives do order a lot of steps, and a good husband should take them all, but that's not what the Bible says. Now listen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. You understand what that means? That means that if you are in a wilderness, being pursued by an enemy, and nowhere to go, those steps are ordered by God. And you should delight in them and be glad. I can't tell you all the reasons why the Lord God was pleased to lead Lot through Sodom. I can't tell you. But He did. And left Lot to himself to have incest with his daughter. But he did. And it was according to his purpose. For out of that incestuous relationship came a woman called Ruth, through whom came the Son of God to redeem us. I don't know why Lord God left David to himself on his beautiful mansion palace wall, looking at that beautiful woman, Bathsheba, as she bathed and stole that man's wife, his royal friend. But he did. I don't know why on earth should God leave a man who is a man after God's own heart to take his own friend and put him in front of the army and kill him. I don't know why, but God did. There is no accidents with God Almighty. There are no accidents in our lives. If you are His people, there is no accident in your life. From David and Bathsheba came Solomon, through whom came the Son of God into this world. And for some reason, in His infinite wisdom, and He is much wiser than you and I all put together, God is pleased to lead His children not immediately into glory. God is pleased to direct our path through this wilderness called the world until He takes us to glory. In His infinite wisdom, He does that. And through this wilderness, we are entangled and entangled and entangled and again entangled. I mean, we are entangled with everything in this world. We are entangled with everything we face on a daily basis. But I tell you something. God, in His infinite wisdom, has decided to take us through this world before He takes you, Brother Victor, to heaven. That's what He does. And that's why He's God. Now, another thing we need to learn. God's great purpose in everything He does, His primary purpose, above all else in all of His works, is what? What is God's primary purpose? And the answer is this. He will manifest His glory. He does it to manifest His glory. He raised up Pharaoh and destroys Pharaoh. Why? To show His glory in him. He raised up nations and destroys nations. Why? To show His glory in them and in the salvation of His people. God's primary purpose, to save you, Brother Anthony. Not because you're cute. Not because you play the piano. Not because you sing. Not because you are a good bachelor ready to go get hitched. No. He saves you. In Psalm 106 verse 8, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, He saved them for His own name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known." Do you understand that? The reason He saved you, Brother Laurel, is because nobody else could. He showed His mighty power in saving a wretched, wicked sinner like you and I. So He will be glorified. He will be praised. And this is the reason God has mercy on you, for His name's sake. That's the reason why He chose you, called you, adopted you, accepted us, redeemed us. That's the reason why He forgave our sins. And that's the reason why He is keeping us until He comes again. He did it all for His name's sake. But we have a real problem in seeing God's glory. And that problem is us. As long as self stands in the way, you cannot see God and His glory. And in order for God to show you His glory, Brother Chris, He's got to move Chris out of the picture. Move him out. and bless his name, he knows how to do that. I don't know how to do anything. He knows how to do that. And that's why he saved the Israelites. In Isaiah 63, you read it twice. He saved it, saved them because he wanted to bring glory to his name. Because people need to know who is Lord God Almighty. Now let's go back to verse 10 of Exodus 14. There's another thing there. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptian marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses. You see, they cried out unto the Lord. And they went and complained to Moses. They cry out unto the Lord and they go complain to Pastor Otero. How could that be? The fact is that we live in this world, and while we are here, our faith is full of unbelief. You see what I'm saying? When we see enemy coming after us, we do go to the Lord, and then immediately we go talk to Pastor Tomlinson. We go to the Lord and then say, hey, Brother Chris, Anthony, boom, boom. Just like the man who had a demon-possessed child. You remember that? Let's go to Mark chapter 9. I want to show you this verse. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. We cry out to God and half believe him. In Mark chapter 9, we have a picture of a man who has a demon-possessed child. And look what Jesus tells him in verse 23, Mark 9, 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. You see what I'm saying? Oh, the children of Israel believed, but God help me in my unbelief. I need it. If I believed him as I should, they would have never cried to Moses. If I believed him as I would never grumble and murmur and complain. If I believe him as I should and as I would never grumble and murmur in my own heart. Our faith, as we cry up to the God Almighty, is full of unbelief. It is never perfect while we walk in this earth. But there is a day. Oh, there is a day coming. I can't wait. I can't wait. Let's go back to Exodus 14. I want to show you something else. Verses 11 and 12. Exodus 14, verses 11 and 12. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Didn't we tell you this? Saying, that let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now let me tell you something. Now listen, Moses, it would be better to die having never had the hope than to come out of Egypt with hope and perish and lose the hope. Did you hear that? it is better to die not knowing the hope than come out of Egypt with that hope we have and see it dash away in pieces. And that is true. It is true. It is better to die not knowing Christ than know Him. And we see our hope going further and further away because of our sin. Isn't that true? But bless God, that won't happen with any one of His elect. If God is glorified, you see, He will glorify Himself, taking us out of the picture. Don't look at me and you in this wilderness. Look at Him. Don't look at the Egyptians. Look at the cloud. Though we are entangled in this world, entangled with so much, entangled with the worldly care, entangled with the things that just don't matter. Oh, the elections are coming. Oh, who's going to be the president? Oh, Hillary. Oh, Obama. Oh, McCain. Oh, what are we going to do? What if this? What if that? Oh, leave it alone. It ain't worth it. Don't, let me tell you, don't let the care of this world consume you. Why? Why? I'll show you. Let's go to Matthew 13:22. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 22. Don't let the care of this world consume you. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hear the word. Now listen, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The care of this world, if you are entangled with the cares of this world, it will choke the word, and there will be no fruit in you. Put your care on Christ. But one thing I know, although we are often entangled, it is in the mouth of the furnace that our great God sits, like an engineer, the purifier and the redeemer of His own silver. He sits there, and He will never heat the furnace too hot, and He will never let the furnace grow too cold. And He will accomplish what He has purposed in you, Victor. You're going to go through that furnace, and He controls the knobs. If He needs to heat you up, He will heat you up. But He's in control. You see what I'm saying? And when you come out of that furnace, oh, how pure you will be. I can't wait. I just can't wait. Now let me show you something else. In verse 10, we read that the children of Israel were sore afraid. Wouldn't you be? Now look at this though. These are the same folks that have seen the river Nile turn into blood and back into water. These are the same folks when God threw lice all over the land of Egypt and protected Goshen. These are the same folks. They've seen the 10 big, great wonders of God coming from heaven. The fire, the locusts, everything, the frogs coming from heaven. And they were protected. These are the same guys that have seen God in action. But they turn against God. Now, before we become too judgmental on these people, wouldn't you and I do the same? Let us remember how often we are filled with the same fear and the same unbelief. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Hear what the word of God says. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's a room with a reservation sign, not like the one I got in Texas last week. Went to the room, it had a sign on it: please do not disturb. It's 1:30 in the morning. What do you do? Do you go in? Maybe there are people in there doing stuff. Do you go out? Go downstairs. There's people in my room. They said, we're sorry, you made an error on your reservation. God doesn't do that. It's ready. And it's reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How are you kept? When we are in fear, when we are afraid, when we see the enemy coming, we are kept by the power of God. Now verse 7. Look at this now. That the trial of your faith, not your faith, look at this, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith, brother, is precious. Oh, when God puts you in that situation, in that sickness, in that misery, that trial, the Bible says it is precious, more than gold. Unbelievable. Now I have an answer for you. I'm going to probably go over 5 minutes. I have an answer for you. God has an answer for us, for every problem we got. Every dilemma you face, every problem you got, I don't care what it is. Here is the answer. You ready? Fasten your belts now. Exodus 14, verse 13 through 15. Here's your answer. For every dilemma and every problem, here's the answer and instruction of God for every one of us. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord God shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. The first thing, the answer to the problem is, fear ye not. Don't be afraid. Why? Because you are his. You have no reason to fear. He is God Almighty. He is God that saved you. We read in Haggai 2:5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of the Egypt, so my spirit, listen, remaineth among you. Fear ye not. God is with you. He says the spirit remains among you. Why are you afraid? I am the Lord your God. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. I will uphold you with my hand of righteousness. Don't be afraid. Second thing, fear ye not, and then what? Run like a madman. No. Fear ye not, but stand still. It's funny to me. What do you mean, stand still? You mean don't go to church? No. You mean don't read the Bible? No. You mean don't pray? No. What does it mean to stand still? In the middle of trials and tribulations, what does it mean to stand still? God told Job in Job 37:14, stand still and consider the wondrous work of God. God says to us in Psalm 4:4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. God tells us in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. What does it mean to stand still? To stand still is to trust Christ. The enemy is right behind you. Mountains are around you. The Red Sea is in front of you. Trust Christ. And see the salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of the righteous. The salvation of the righteous is the Lord's doing. It is His doing. God says, stand still and see the salvation purposed by God in eternity. Stand still and see the salvation purchased for you by the blood of God's dear Son on Calvary. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And then he says something else. What about the Egyptians which are behind you? What about them? What about the enemies you see today that are after you? The Bible says, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more, forever. That's what it means to enter into heaven. There is no more enemy that is after you. Unbelievable. Stand still and see God's salvation as He destroys every foe before you. And at the end, He gives a commandment in verse 15. Then He says something else. What did He say to Moses? Stop. You remember? Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Enough. Speak unto the people. And what do you tell them? They go forward. And that's the commandment of God to us today. Go forward, you fugitives that are being sought by the law. Go forward. Go forward as those who are under the commandment and the order of the chief, Jesus Christ, the captain of your salvation. Don't sit down. Go forward as God's covenant people. As those that have the promises of God in their heart. Go forward and do not be afraid. God's people. Every sinner chosen of God and redeemed by His blood. Every sinner called by His grace. Every sinner God has brought out of the bondage of slavery and sin. Out of the bondage of Egypt. Every sinner, He will take them into the promised land. And you and I will enter triumphantly. Hallelujah. We're not going to go down with our heads down. We are going in because God gave it to us by right and by might. Because He is fighting for you. He is in the front fighting for you and I. Why are you worried? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, how do we bring it all together? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Last verse, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Doesn't mean you go on diet. Look at this. Anything that's bogged you down, anything that's keeping you from moving, anything that's holding you, drugs, women, alcohol, men, whatever it is, he says, let aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset. And here it is. And let us, look at this, run with patience the race that is set before us. Not your race that you want to run. Not your field you want to be in. Not your choosing. It is the race that has already been set before you by God Almighty. Run it. Be patient. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for giving us this word, a living word. May it be that if we are trapped and we are full of despair, we will hear your message today, and all of us will bow down, and we will stand still, and we will see the salvation of the Lord. And we will move forward into the promised land by right and by might. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Ransomed me, and like a flood mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The world shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. He'll be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.